is 1 Samuel 24 for the rest of us. 1 Samuel chapter 24. It's hard to believe, but we've been looking at Saul's life for 10 weeks already. Have we learned anything from Saul? Can anybody think of one thing you've learned from Saul's life so far? Anybody? Just one thing.
Selfish.
Okay. What about selfish? We should not be selfish. Okay. Brent?
Good looks don't mean a good king.
That's right. Good looks and being tall don't make you a good king. What else? Anybody? Jackie?
Jealousy leads to misery.
Jealousy leads to misery. Anything else you've learned from the life of Saul? 9 weeks we looked at him already. Thank you. That's true. Anybody else? And how about David? We've looked at him for 5 weeks. Have we learned anything from the life of David so far? We're just getting started on David's life. But anybody, have you learned anything from David's life, Brent?
He was obviously obedient to God, and while he was suffering and being chased, he wasn't being captured by Saul, so it was God's will, and David was moving through God's will and leading on God.
So it was God's will for David to be chased and to go through that trial. Even though it might not have felt that way at the time, it was God's will. Anything else from the life of David?
He was humble and obedient.
Humble and obedient, amen. A man after God's own heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. That verse comes from the choosing of David. Anybody else? So last week, where we finished here in chapter 24, David had that opportunity to kill Saul, remember? He didn't take it. He did cut off a piece of his robe, and then it repented him that he had even touched God's anointed, which again revealed a lot about his character, didn't it? That he believed that God was in control, and that if God chose someone, then he was God's man, and if he needed to be removed, he was going to let God remove him. He wasn't going to take matters into his own hands. Also, he had opportunity to avenge himself of all the wrong that Saul had already done to him, throwing a javelin at him a couple of times, trying to kill him in his bed, and now chasing him from one wilderness to another, one cave to another. He had an opportunity to avenge himself of his enemy. He didn't take it. And that reveals a lot about why he was a man after God's own heart. I think we stopped at verse 6 last week. Yes. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. I think that's where we stopped last week. So today we'll dive in there at verse 7 and continue looking at the life of these two men and see what we can learn. So Brother Scott, if you would introduce us to this new passage, 7 down through 15.
So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord, the king. And then when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand, the cave, and some days bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of my thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe, and kill thee not. Know thou that, see, that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee, As saith the prophet of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue after a dead dog, after a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand.
So we see who David is trusting. Amen? Twice he said, I've turned it over to God. Verse 12, the Lord judge between me and thee. The Lord avenge me. If a vengeance needed to take place, God will do it. And then verse 15, the Lord be the judge. The Lord deliver me out of thine hand. David's trusting God through all of this. Even though it might not feel like what God had planned. You know, he's already been anointed by Samuel. He knows he's going to be king of Israel someday. And yet here he is being pursued and chased and the king trying to kill him. So he's trusting the Lord. Again, we see a glimpse into David's heart. So let's pray and get started. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray that as we study it together, that you would use it in our lives to teach us and to grow us. Lord, we pray you would guide us in your truth and that you would be pleased and glorified in our service. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's see Saul's response, Howard, if you would, 16 to 22.
It came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord hath delivered me into thine hands, thou killedst me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat him up into the hole.
So another supposed repentance by Saul. If it was genuine, that would have stopped, right? No more pursuing, but it's not genuine because it doesn't stop. But he is now starting to recognize that David will be the king. And in Old Testament Bible days, when someone became king, if they were an evil king, they very commonly would then kill all the offspring, all the male offspring of the former king, so that they couldn't come back and claim rights to the throne. And that's Saul's request. If you do become the king, or when you become king, please don't cut off my seed. Don't kill my sons. And, of course, David swore that he wouldn't. So is this a genuine repentance? Sadly, no. It's not over. But thoughts or questions before we dive into chapter 25. Samuel dies of old age. And then the story of David and a woman named Abigail. Anybody? Any observations in this chapter 24? Brent?
I think it says somewhere in the New Testament that the wrath of man worketh not repentance. It's like, doesn't matter how angry you get, God's not moved. Because that's not genuine repentance before God. I'm trying to quote the verse, but it's like God's just not moved.
Amen. Anybody else? All right, so here in chapter 25... Samuel dies here in verse 1. And then the story of David and Nabal and Abigail. Very interesting story. So, Brent, if you would read for us down through 13.
And Samuel died, and all the Israelites gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man at Maon, whose possessions were in Carmel. The man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Canaan. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we heard them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favour in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all that those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants now a days that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men, whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff.
David wasn't perfect. That's one thing we will learn. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was a sinner like the rest of us. And this is the first occasion we get a glimpse of David, if you will, taking things into his own hands. And so because this churlish, evil man turned down his men's request for some food, he and his 400 men were going to go kill him. And his men. Was that God's will? For him to go and slaughter this family and this man's business because he wouldn't give him food? No. But God intervened through a woman named Abigail and protected David from, and David will acknowledge later that it was wrong. Well, let's look at it, verse 39. And we'll hit it again, but let's just see. Notice in verse 39, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. So notice he said, God took it upon his hand, or took care of it for me. If I had done it... then I would have done the wrong thing. So David acknowledges that his revenge was not the right thing to do. And he, as we'll see, Abigail steps in. So any thoughts or questions up to this point? All right, so the story of Abigail, 14 to 31. Roy gave you a nice short passage.
Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow had in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he had required to be evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him, but a morning light, any that visit against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted, and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this evil be, and let thine handmaid, I pray, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard the man of Belial, even the vow, for as his name is, so is he, the vow is his name, and holy is his name. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as God. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young man that followed my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life of the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies. Them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of the sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. For when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine hand.
Did this woman have some wisdom? Pretty amazing wisdom, really. And did you notice she said in verse 31, shed blood causeless. So she's basically saying, please accept my food, but also acknowledge that you were about to do the wrong thing and avenge yourself and kill my husband and all these men for what? Just because they wouldn't give you food? Is that sinful? Is that wrong that they turned David down? So David was in a bit of a rage and was going to execute revenge. He and his men were on their way to kill 400 men, armed and ready. And this one woman stopped it all. So thoughts or questions as we move on through this story. And then we'll see David's humble response. But God used Abigail in a major way here to prevent David from sinning. Anybody? All right, let's... Yes, Christine.
I was thinking she must have been incredibly courageous to go and face an army of men.
Absolutely. Not only wise, but yeah. Because those men, these are battle-hardened soldiers with David. 400 of them, and she went and faced them essentially alone. That was very courageous on her part. Beryl?
She was faithful to her husband, even though he was the only girl, so I'm sure he was very faithful to her as well.
Yep. And his name, who names their kid Folly? The parents must have known something, I don't know. But his name meant folly. She said, as his name, so is he. He's a person of folly. We all recognize he's a churlish man, but she's just trying to protect her husband and the men that work for her husband. So as Beryl said, she's doing the right thing by her husband, even though he is not a good guy. Anything else? So wise woman, a biblical wife, and courageous. Abigail. Anybody? All right, let's see David's response, Mark Zeus, 32 to 35.
And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, which sent me this day to meet you, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept Peter said, when coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal in the morning light, and that pisseth against the wall. So David received off her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go and go up and seek in thine house. See, I hearken to thy voice, and have accepted thy person.
That's the right response, isn't it? Blessed be the Lord. Notice who he's giving credit for all of this. So God sent you providentially to protect me from sinning. Blessed be the Lord for doing this and stopping me from doing the wrong thing, coming to shed blood, avenging myself with mine own hand, which we know is not right, even in Old Testament law. And blessed be the Lord. So I accept your gift, and it had its desired effect, which was to stop you from avenging yourself. That's a good response. It could have been different, right? He could have said, well, thank you for the food, but we're going to go kill all the guys anyway. And that's not what happened. So let's see what happens to Nabal or Nabal. James 36 to 38.
In the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died.
His heart became as a stone. I don't know if I know what that means, but he didn't die because of the news. It says the Lord smote him. But God's in control of all of this, isn't he? God is orchestrating everything because David is the new king of Israel. David is a man after God's own heart, and God is watching over David. So David didn't kill him, but God did. 10 days after he got the news of what his wife did. And God took care of the problem. David didn't have to. Another example of trusting the Lord. Avenge not yourselves, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen, Brent?
Could that, as stone, just mean hardened, hardened against the word?
Most likely, I don't know what it means. I mean, the Bible does say, harden not your heart. But it says his heart died. So I don't know what that means. Is that a medical thing, or is that just, he just went into such shock that I don't know what it means. But 10 days later, God killed him. But that was it. God took care of his enemy for him. What a blessing. Then what happens to Abigail? 39 to 42, Cash.
And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept the servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent to the bureau of Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. 42?
Yeah.
And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife.
So David recognized that this was an amazing woman, as we've pointed out, and decided he wanted her to be his wife. So how many wives does David have at this point? Well, we're going to find out. Howard? You want to guess? Pardon? Well, right. But remember Michael's daughter, Michael Saul's daughter? She's not his wife anymore, as you're about to find out. Saul, in his revenge or anger, gave her to someone else. But along the way, he has collected two other wives. So we've already seen that David isn't perfect, right? He was going to avenge himself. Now we're going to see that David has a weakness. And that weakness is women, which we're going to find turns into murder, right, later. A weakness that he passed on to his son. Would we all agree? 1,000 wives? So never forget that as we walk through this story, that it wasn't just a coincidence that Solomon had this weakness that led to his downfall of women. His father had the same weakness. Notice verse 43, David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. Oh, sorry, this is two at this point. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. So Saul had, I don't know how that works, basically said, you're not his wife anymore, and gave her to someone else, but he'd already taken another woman of Jezreel, so now he has two wives, because he lost Michal. Mark?
Yeah. I'm not too sure about David, but I know back in Solomon, why he had so many wives, that because of his wisdom, many nations wanted to befriend him, and they gave him their daughters or the kingdom that they had, so Solomon wouldn't attack him. That was the purpose of they giving them a daughter, so they had skin in the game, they might say, in that sense there. So that wasn't actually a lust thing, sometimes it was a political thing.
Oh, I got that.
And they did that.
It was very political.
Yeah.
Marriages were very political back then, absolutely. They were ways of keeping peace between kingdoms, very common. But we have to be careful because God's plan for marriage has always been the same. And polygamy, even though it was practiced, was never, if you will, given as something that God was okay with. So David, what I'm saying is David made a choice here. He didn't have to take Abigail to be his second wife, did he? But he was impressed with her and said, well, you know, her husband's dead. I think I'll take her to be my second wife. He obviously knows by now that his other wife is Michal, his first wife, has been given away to someone else. I don't know how that works. I guess the king had the power to say, you're divorced from him now and you're married to this guy. So next week we find out that Saul's repentance was not genuine. Because Saul is going to chase David again. And then David's going to have yet another opportunity to kill Saul. So thoughts or questions before we close in prayer? Oh, we're a long ways from that story, but we're going
to
find out. Yep, we'll get there. I'm not going to give you spoilers today. Oh, by the way, David doesn't stop at two.
Oh, hell. What a
man. He ends up with at least seven wives.
Oh, hell.
Yeah. Anyway.